The word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We'll proceed to 2 Peter chapter 2, where we'll pick up with analysis of verses 12 through 13a. All right, the Bible makes very clear that as believers, you're either in fellowship or out of fellowship. How you get out of fellowship is through the personal sin in life. How you get back into fellowship is applying 1 John 1:9, the rebound technique, of which time you're forgiven of your sins, past, present, etc. You're restored to fellowship. The filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit is in place. You are therefore predisposed to serve God and do what His plan commands you to do under His favor, in action with honor. And you are given the ability in this condition to also assimilate the truth of Bible doctrine undistorted by the STA, therefore gap the information purely without error. So with that in mind, it is our custom to make sure that everybody has opportunity to be in fellowship, if not already done so, as we start with our usual customary word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for all that you have provided for us to know your word and your plan for our lives, to serve you accordingly and appropriately, that will glorify you and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all eternity. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us in the truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Here in Peter chapter 2, as we are seeing, Peter is addressing the issue of the infiltration of false teachers as they are now raising their ugly head in the church, and they will end up, as we know, over church history to generally dominate the landscape of the church. And in this vein, Peter, here in verses 10 and following to the end of the chapter, brings about a series of fairly harsh denunciations or condemnations, censure against them. And he begins, as we saw, with the very fact that they have no true fear of God. They are daring, they are self-pleasing, self-willed mongers for their own self-preservation and enjoyment and pleasure in life. And they do not wash their tongue, they do not bridle their tongue at any level, and they are consistently bringing blasphemies against God's plan and those who represent His plan. Now in verse 12, that's verse 10b and 11, now in verse 12 through 13a, which are designed to go together, he brings up the fact that these are like animals for slaughter, and they ultimately are destined to face judgment. Rereading verse 12, we've already looked at the Greek, but these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct for capture and slaughter, literally, to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, reviling again being our word for blasphemy, will, in the destruction of those creatures, also be destroyed, suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong. All right, the analysis now, verses 12 through 13a. 1, Peter now takes his assault upon the libertines and kicks it up a notch. 2, he delves into the very psyche of their recalcitrant, STA-driven negative volition. Their obstinance of negative volition, their manner of life, their method of operation, their tactics, their agenda, to undermine believers in regards to morality, in regards to the plan of God. These are indeed the worst of the worst of false teachers. And they are not willing, if you will, to repent, to come to repentance at this point in time, these types. And they are under negative volition, and they are full-blown Magnum 440 STA driven. All the power they derive, regards their negative volition, is from their STA. So, two again, he delves into the very psyche of their recalcitrant STA driven negative volition. Three, it is an ignorant mindset that does no more than lead to their destruction. It is stupidity that brings about God's wrath on their heads. So four, he does so by comparing them to dumb animals, the lower creation, raised for food. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct, to be captured and killed. Certain animals, obviously, they may live in the wild, and you may hunt them for food. But other animals, obviously, throughout history, man has essentially domesticated to a certain degree, and they are reproduced specifically as food and clothing items. And it is that type of animal that Peter has in mind here. So five, the comparative phrase, like unreasoning animals. Host, comparative conjunction, host, oligos, zone, parallels of refusal to possess any modicum of restraint, living only for the moment. Like unreasoning animals, they only have one thing on their mind, is a cow, give me grass, give me food. Anything else that would satisfy their hunger and their animalistic instinct of comfort in this regard. And that these are compared to unreasoning animals, these false teachers, it parallels that they have no control, no self-control, truly, in regards to their STAs, in regards to restraining and overruling their STA, and that they simply live for the moment in time, as many people do. Live for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Live for today and have as much fun and satisfy your flesh, your STA, every available opportunity. Live, eat, drink, be merry, you know, etc. That type of mentality. Six, the adjective unreasoning here occurs two other times in the New Testament, indicating thinking that is remiss of logic. There is no rational thought that can be ascribed to the way these people determine to operate in life, really, when it comes to the realities of life in contrast to that. So, unreasoning looks at thinking that is remiss of logic. It's used Acts 25:27 in that vein. In regards to taking a prisoner apart from having a charge against them, for it seems absurd to me. That's our term, absurd. To me, in sending a prisoner, not to indicate also the charges against him. And then it occurs again in the parallel passage of Jude 10, where Jude also is addressing in a very parallel way false teachers, and he there refers to them in the same vein as unreasoning animals. So seven, as with the Jude 10 parallel, it is correctly translated here as unreasoning, being unreasonable. You know, what it's like to be around people that are unreasonable, will not listen to plain logic. It's like beating your head against a brick wall, try to talk any sense into them until they are willing to get a grip on their emotions and come to a sense of reasoning. Generally, you're just wasting your time otherwise trying to convince them of some other mode of thinking. 8, these men, like the beasts of the field, have abandoned their rationality and follow their passions. Just like sheep or cattle, as they're raised, they have no true rationality and they simply follow their instincts. They do what comes natural to them. 9, they, like their counterparts, they being a false teacher. In the animal kingdom were, quote, born as creatures of instinct. 10, the perfect passive participle of born, which is gnao in the Greek, looks to the ultimate purpose for their existence as absolutely destined to future judgment while remaining in this condition. Perfect passive participle is the strongest of terms to know an action in the past with existing results. And here it emphasizes the absolute judgment they will face as long as they remain negative and obstinate with respect to their whole approach in life. These people have to come to a 180 degree turn, about face, with respect to how they even think about life in and of itself. 11, the English phrase, creatures of instinct, is literally that which is, quote, natural, which is our term, physikos. That's also used in Jude 10. And again, the very parallel of unreasoning animals, creatures of instinct. And then it's also used in Romans 1, 26 and 27 to indicate this meaning of that which is natural. Regards to the homosexual and lesbian vices going against nature, that which is natural. And those who are negative, who reject God and His plan, their judgment is they are turned over, if you will, to their SCA. And their SCA can be quite perverted, even abnormally. And our term there is that which is translated natural in verses 26 and 27. For this reason, God gave them over to dishonorable passions, for even the females exchanged the natural function for that which is against nature. And in the same way, also the males abandoned their natural function of the female. And burdened a desire towards one another, males with males committing the shameful act and receiving their own persons the due penalty of their error. So it's the same term used with respect to that which those of Sodom and Gomorrah went totally against. Even in nature, God's creation of the male-female species is seen clearly on how it is to function. But homosexual can't see that. So the phrase creatures of instinct, born as that which is natural, literally. It's also used in Jude 10 and then as we saw in Romans 12. This emphasizes a life blind to the spiritual truths of life dominated by fleshly instinct. Just as homosexuals are blind to the reality of how creation is designed to be used with respect to our bodies as males and females. So these false teachers are blind to the spiritual truths of life with respect to their own lives. And that is because they're dominated by their sin nature. They have given it a green light at every intersection. 12, they have abandoned rational thought and follow only an instinctive approach to living. Your instincts of the flesh are quite often, if not generally always, opposite of what Bible doctrine will tell you to do. You know, the instinctive aspects of flesh, the survival mode, if you will. And rational thought is necessary for one to keep calm and cool in regards to situations like that. But these are like, if you will, crazies. They've gone off the deep end. And whichever direction they're sniffing, that's the direction they're going. under their STAs. 14, this translates into the real world as someone that follows their own passions and self-interest. As we would say, they're under full STA lock, unbridled, if you will. Their STA, again, is given the green light. And there is no attempts to, if you will, hinder it or stop it. And as without any serious consideration, point 14 continuing, of a possible future where they might come to be held accountable by a higher power. They're not giving any really thought to the ultimate end for all men. That one of these days, all of us, I don't care who you are, will end this temporal life and you will meet God face to face. All of mankind throughout history. So these, in comparison, translate to one who is totally wrapped up in their STA, their own selfish motivations of life, to go after the good life, if you will. And they are not giving any serious consideration of eternal consequences and the eternal ramifications that will come upon them when, as they might be held accountable to a higher power, that there really might be a God out there, this God of the Bible, that is absolutely righteous and will express His judgment under His righteous terms. 15, so as animals are to humans, so these are to God. As we as a higher creation, created as rational beings, can dominate and rule over animals in the animal world, and they're at, if you will, our whim of what we choose to do with them. So are these false teachers with respect to God Himself. 16, instinct, not rational thought, characterizes their approach to the question of the purpose of life. Why are we here? Bible doctrine answers that. So 17, these types are practical atheists, if not theoretical ones. While they may claim to believe in God, their applications or actions of life is like a practicing atheist, like a God doesn't exist. There's no repercussions. See, that's the type of thought you get from an evolutionist. There's really no repercussions. We've all evolved from some monkey somewhere, and otherwise you might as well live for what you're going to get, because once it's done, it's over with. See. So you can see the type of lifestyle, the type of stuff that would come out of that in regards to people's thinking in their lives. And it is void of true rationality. Why we're able to remember, why we have our thoughts and a conscience and things of this nature, a universe that is perfect in regards to its creation, its mathematical genius, all these things, all the evidence that God has left behind for man to come to a realization that there is a higher supreme being behind all that we are enjoying in time or live in time. And these act like not one of these exists. And unfortunately, a lot of believers act the same way. And a believer is, oh yeah, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and blah, blah, blah. But their life is like a practicing atheist. They don't give a hoot in hell in regards to God's plan for their life. They're off out just pursuing their own STA funds and frillies and trends and salivations. And they're practicing atheists, whether they're theoretical ones or not. So 17 again, these types are practical atheists, if not theoretical ones. 18, and so, like their counterparts in the animal kingdom, the dumb animals, they will come to an end from which their instinctive approach to living cannot deliver them. Where does this approach to life, this kind of approach to life, where does it take them? And then how does it resolve for them the issues of death and life after death? See, we've resolved those issues. With Bible doctrine, we've all resolved those issues. Now, we may still have some of us may still have the test in front of us, apart from the rapture. But we've resolved the issue in regards to life after death. A life does exist after death. And it exists according to how the Scripture describes it and reveals to us in this respect. These like dumb animals, they're just living life, and they're not giving a thought, you know, in regards to dying. They won't until that time comes. Then they'll be forced to think about it if it doesn't happen just immediately. So like their counterparts in the animal kingdom, point 18, they will come to an end from which their instinctive approach to living cannot deliver them. 19, a rational animal that is fed and cared for would soon realize what's up and try to avert their captors. Cattle, sheep, if they were rational and had, you know, able to put things together and thoughts and recognize, these people are feeding us all this grain and stuff because they just want to slaughter us and eat us. You know, a smart animal is going to go, we're going on hunger strike here. You're not going to get nothing from me, you know, or attack. A rational animal would at least do that. But animals don't have conscience. They do not have the ability of rational thinking. Their brain computers are programmed to react, respond in certain ways. And you can train them, but it's all in response in regards to the methodology of training in that regards. Human beings, we have the ability to rationally think things out otherwise. So a rational animal that is being fed, you know, and pampered, etc., would ultimately figure out, you know, after seeing all what's happened to all of his brothers and sisters, you know, they end up disappearing one day, and somebody's talking about, yeah, that old bovine was really good. Oh, you know, I'm not eating no more grass. I'm getting out of here. 20 animals that are threatened to go into hiding or attack and defense as living things have a strong inbuilt survival instinct. 21, but animals that are treated well are being set up for slaughter. Like my dog Curly. If I was of the persuasion to eat dog, as some cultures are, he would never know. I was setting him up, of course. I wouldn't have to go under a hunger strike. I'd probably go hungry trying to eat that skinny dog anyway. Nothing but muscle. But obviously, recognize your pet has no idea. You know, we have pets, you know, today, which is probably kind of unique, even though pets have been known to have been had over history. But in the magnitude of it, the world today, pets, we're not dealing with just pets that you take care of until they die. We're talking about here the cattle, sheep, other animals that are raised. They're being fattened up. And that is all to be for the purpose of consumption and use otherwise in regards to their skin, etc., for clothing. So animals that are treated well are being set up for slaughter. 22, this is the mentality of these libertines and scoffers, these liberal Gnostics. These are the kind of false teachers we're dealing with. This is the mentality of libertines and scoffers. 23, their arrogance makes them an easy catch for God's wrath. Just as you domesticate an animal, you bring in a shack, raise the food, the food sack, you know, or here, boss, or whatever your call they're used to in regards to feed time, and here they come running. And you don't have to go out and chase them down. They'll come to you, even cattle, see, in this regard. And these false teachers are just that easy in regards to falling to the wrath of God. They're an easy catch. An easy catch. Why? 24, they misinterpret good times and their ability to sin with impunity. They think, oh, this is just a great life. Nothing's going to happen to me. And they misinterpret all that they're getting away with under the SCA, that they'll be able to do that, you know, now on, essentially. So they misinterpret good times and their ability to sin with impunity, that as they freely choose and without repercussions. See, generally speaking, not that repercussions don't come, but that they get over that and they continue to press on. 25, so their end will be like that of animals, to be captured and killed for food and clothing. Twenty-six, they go through life in total ignorance in this regard, totally oblivious to the reality behind what their life stands for and what it's going to bring upon them, just like the dumb animals. 27, the two nouns captured, losis, and killed, phthora, follow the preposition ice into or for. And here are here translated as infinities to bring out the idea of purpose, which it has that sense here in regards to the birth. They're born as creatures of instinct for the purpose of capture and slaughter. 28, a more literal translation is born as creatures of instinct, obviously governed by natural instincts, for capture and slaughter. 29, they live out their lives and perish like other men, at which time they fall permanently into the hands of the living God. 30, God is free at any time to make their human existence miserable, as he often does with these types. He'll jam in a lot of activity, demands, you know, judgment and time, and their lives otherwise are miserable, but they're STA rules. So their misery is just, you know, a curve they got to get over in regards to continue to satisfy their STA otherwise. 30, just like those under fatigue reversion and running through the world, engaging, you know, in unprotected sex and all other things, and the danger always of catching some disease like AIDS or whatever, homosexuals, etc., drug addicts. But they look past that just because their STA is so driven. They got to have that satisfaction, and they're willing to take that risk. See, that's your STA when it's left unbridled. And often God makes life miserable, but as long as they're stroking their STA, you know, it keeps them satisfied. 31, they are to God what animals are to humans. They are humans. They are at his disposal, these false teachers. 32, we can see men all around us that are otherwise rational beings, acting only instinctively when it comes to the most important issue of life, the eternal well-being of the immortal soul. 33, this comparison is seen in Psalm 49. Paying attention to verses 12 and 20. All peoples, give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. Don't let anybody be left out on this in regards to giving God is your undivided attention. My mouth will speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart will be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will express my riddle on the heart. Looking at the prophetic indications of musical instruments, as we've dealt with. Why should I fear in days of adversity when the iniquity of my foes surrounds me, even those who trust in their wealth and boast in abundance of their riches? No man can by any means redeem his brother. How is any of this wealth going to save them at the end? See if you can pay off God with your billions, if not trillions of dollars, Mr. Great Merchant of the End Times. That's the idea. God, you can't buy salvation. Salvation is free. Either you accept it or you don't get it. No man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of his soul is costly. and he should cease trying forever, that he should live on eternally, that he should not undergo the pit or the decay. For he sees that even wise men die. The stupid and senseless alike perish. Everybody is going to, has to ultimately look at life and realize that life, this life's going to come to an end. There's no way around it. I mean, as hard as everybody might try and perceive, you know, eternal life in some form or fashion through chemicals or genetic engineering or whatever to live on, you know, it's a great quest of man to continue to extend life. The reality is we all have to face the end sooner or later, see. Whether you're the most genius that ever walked on this planet or riches or the most stupid, it's all the same. Life ends for all of us. The stupid and senseless alike, verse 10, perish and leave their wealth to others. The inner thought is that their houses are forever and their dwelling places to all generations. That they somehow extend their persons and their existence through leaving things behind. In memoriam, in regards to him, that their names will live on forever. This type of mentality. They have called their lands after their own names. But man, in his pomp, his outward show, will not endure. He is like the beasts that perish. Just like the dumb animal of Peter. Verse 13, this is the way of those who are foolish, and of those after them who approve their words. Those who align up with those with that type of human viewpoint mentality. As sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd. And the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be for Sheol to consume, so that they have no habitation. But God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Do not be afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of this house is increased. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. He will leave it all back behind. All you'll have is your naked soul and your human spirit, which is a good thing. You want your passport. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not descend after him. All the things that have been created, statues, memoriams, in regards to great men that lived before us, none of these things are going to have any ramifications in regards to their eternal existence. A lot of these people that they have left prestigious things in memoriam to are going to be in the lake of fire for all eternity. Now, raise up your little statue or your building that you got you're named after, the towers or whatever, you know, and see where that gets you. All these things that people think are so damn important in life at the expense of, you know, Bible doctrine. Oh well. Though while he lives, he congratulates himself. The arrogance, the pride. Oh, look how great I am. Look at the reputation I'm building. Look at my occupation. What an exciting, adventurous life I got. Well, take that adventure and translate it into your eternal niche. And see where it gets you. See how much it'll buy you. See if he'll give you. See if that adventure of your profession will buy you a little SG3 for eternity. Though men praise you when you do well for yourself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see the light. Men in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. Those without understanding, like unreasoning animals, just go through life, then bam, they're gone. And if there's good beef, hopefully it's on my charcoal. So the comparison here, the idea that Peter is presenting for us, we see a parallel in regards to Psalm 49, in regards to these false teachers being of this type. 34, so men that do not act in a rational and logical manner from an intellectually honest heart. Intellectual honesty. How often have we addressed that necessity? Intellectually honest heart, when it comes to God, are acting like unreasoning animals. They're not being intellectually honest with respect to the reality of creation around them, as Romans 1 brings out, for those who choose to be negative of God consciousness, etc. And then beyond that, obviously, they're not being rational. They're not being intellectually honest in regards to the truth of Bible doctrine. 35, if men acted rationally and sought the unknown God, they would find him, and they would come to a knowledge of the truth and avoid God's wrath, just like the animals would go on a hunger strike. And to be a seeker of God, as we would say, to be positive towards him, that then, rather than having wrath, would find God's good graces and rewards. As Hebrews 11:6 states, that God is a rewarder of those who seek him. If you quit looking for him, you abandon the means by which to find him through the local church under sound teaching of Bible doctrine, then you have quit seeking for God. In that sense, you have left it. Theoretically, you know, maybe you're ultimately positive, and time will tell. But practicing, you're not seeking. 36, that this description is wider in scope, applying to multitudes, as Psalm 49 also obviously brought out, that do not know God. Peter adds now the narrow description of pinpointing these heretics, particular false teachers, reviling where they have no knowledge. Reviling where they have no knowledge. 37, the word translated where they have no knowledge, is literally with reference to the things which. Preposition or relative pronoun in hosts in the Greek. The pronoun is neuter plural in number. Neuter in gender, plural in number. These things. The things which. 38, it has as its antecedent in thought the angelic majesties, or literally glories, which is also plural, of verse 10. Daring self-will, they do not tremble when they revile or blaspheme glories, literally, in the Greek. Angelic majesties is the New American Standard Translation, but it's glories, plural, looking at, obviously, the divine glories of God, those things of his plan that represent his person, his plan, etc., whether it's Bible doctrine in and of itself or those who actually represent it in person, such as angels, as they do. So the antecedent, with reference to the things which they had no knowledge, looks back to the glories of verse 10. 39, these men are continually ridiculing and attacking the things of Bible doctrine to which they have been exposed in their association with Christianity. These false teachers, part of the reasons why they are placed in the category of the worst of the worst is based on their culpability factor. These have infiltrated Christian ranks, yet the worst of the worst deny the Master, as we saw in regards to verse 1. They reject even salvation phase 1, the person of Jesus Christ. So they're unbelievers, but yet they're culpable. They're hanging around people that got doctrine. These churches, these particular local churches that Peter has apostolic authority over at this time in his life. As we saw in 1 Peter, the same people. And these people got doctrine. Yet these people could not have helped but hear sound doctrine. Don't tell me they haven't heard the issues of the plan of God being around local churches of this ilk. But they continue to reject it. And their culpability comes from the fact that they're rejecting the truth in the very face of it. So 40, again, these are not just your run-of-the-mill people that are corrupt in theology. 41, these individuals are especially satanic in that they openly ridicule and attack the very foundation of sound doctrine, morality, and authority. 42, they take pride in their stupidity and are yet unaware how stupid they are. My sense of humor. That's the reality. Dumb animals. They're dumb. But they think they're cool in their own eyes. Well, they're just living life. Oh, this is cool, man. I didn't have to work with food. Man, people come out here and feed me. Yeah, this is good. Then you take the human being that operates and acts like that under their SCA. How ignorant they are of being fools, see. Their stupidity. And they take pride in that. But they're totally and completely blind to that. See? That's the irony of it all. 43, they pour abuse on Christian restraint in matters of love, marriage, and sex. The heterosexual plan of God is sex being legitimate only in a divine institution of marriage. They practice liberality otherwise. 44, the participle here, reviling, is again the verb for blaspheming, which is blasphemeo. 45, the phrase, they have no knowledge. They have no knowledge. It is the present indicative verb, agnoeo, meaning they keep on being void of information or ignorant or unaware. 46, if these have no knowledge in the matter of glories, those things that personify the plan of God, refers to a predisposition to not investigate issues carefully before they attack Christian beliefs and practices. And that's one of the things, one of the weaknesses, if you will. Obviously, their whole point of attack is weak. But one of their fallacies, and even trying to approach sound doctrine in such a contradictory way, is that they do not do their homework to begin with. They don't go in, and they do not truly investigate the matters of which they're going to attack and grasp it in regards to the intellectual reasoning that doctrine is designed to stimulate and bring about when one studies it appropriately. So these have no knowledge, and they are predisposed to simply run on their emotions and their instincts, and not truly investigate things. They just open their mouths and go for it. So 47, they flog things they do not understand or wish they are ignorant. And generally speaking, when issues are made in regards to Bible doctrine, well, what's your documentation? What's your reasoning? Well, I don't know. Okay. Well, next time, you might want to investigate a little further before you come up and you tell the pastor he's full of it. Yeah, I've never been closed-minded in regards to anybody showing me otherwise in the Bible, in any doctrine I've ever taught. But that's the way, the SGA is. And these, obviously, are extremely raw in regards to their ignorance and attack in regards to Bible doctrine that they, are claiming these apostles and like eschatology of Christ returning, that they're just making these things up. So 48, they are constantly attacking straw men or things as they paint them and not as they really exist. A straw man is someone that you perceive in your own mind, but it's not real. But that's how you perceive it. Based on your own, based on their own distorted perceptions. That's not a loving church, because we don't come up and pump your hand like every other damn Sunday church does in the world. What's wrong with your church? You don't have an evangelistic ministry out there trying to get those numbers in there and build that church. And you deal with the business world in regards to church, you run across that. Well, what's your plans on building the church? Well, we got some people to help us get the lumber and put some nails in it. No, the numbers, What a bunch of goofballs, you got to do business. God will bring them if they're positive, and it's His will, and they'll be here, and He'll bring them about. But otherwise, numbers, apart from that, is not an issue. Apart from the fact you've got to have enough to have a church, you know. But the things that churches make an issue, you know, you don't see that in the Bible, in that respect. And they go after it, and they have their little human viewpoint ideas. And all it is another satanic attack to try to get you off of your own concentration and focus of the real issues in life. And you can't let it happen. You've got to always check it with Bible doctrine. See, take captive every thought for Christ, no matter where the attack may come from, whether it's intentional or non-intentional. You know, not that any of these business people are out there trying to do you. It's just, they're just, you know, that's the way the church is today. That's what you would expect going out in the business world. Oh, you're a commercial entity. You're trying to make money and grow in numbers. You know, advertise and get on TV and all these other things or whatever. Oh, well. 49, these use as their standard to ridicule the banner of Christianity that is not after the standard of sound doctrine. And it, obviously, people will gravitate and utilize any leverage they can get if they think it's going to make them money and get them what they want in life. And these idiots have no qualms in regards to raising the Christian banner in their own fallacious approach and attack in regards to Christianity in and of itself, and those who otherwise ascribe to it under terms of righteousness and grace and sound doctrine. Now, that's, to me, is one of the more amazing things, is unbelievers that call themselves Christians and have a ministry in the quote, Christian faith. Yet they reject the person and work of Jesus Christ as necessary for salvation. It's like the Jews at the First Advent, mainline Judaism. And to me, it's just totally ironic. How did you ever come to that? You know, well, we know. But either way. So their standard of ridicule... The banner of Christianity, unfortunately, is not following sound doctrine. So 50, their hypocrisy knows no bounds. Their hypocrisy truly does know no bounds. When you're under the STA and you're attacking the truth, the hypocrisy has been thrown out the window. Any rationale truly has been thrown out the window, and hypocrisy that makes a, you know, go for it, who cares? People that are, you know, generally fighting sound doctrine, they'll constantly contradict themselves. They'll make claims which they're just as guilty as anybody else around you of doing, and all kinds of crap, you know. And it's all a form of hypocrisy. Double standards. 51, people want you to apply grace to them. When it's your turn, you need a little grace from everybody else. Oh, sorry about that number. You ain't getting it from me. You know. Self-righteous, you know what I'd like to say, but I won't. 51, the Bible speaks it clear enough. These teachers cast a ridicule of what they have never come to understand. What they have never come to understand. Never been through the doctrine, never did a word search and all these other things which they would, you know, need to do to come to a full understanding regarding something. 52, their version of, and that's the way generally the world is in reaction to, you know, something they don't like with sound doctrine. They don't understand it. And, you know, ignorance a lot of times does produce fear, and that's what they're operating under. 52, their version of things is either something they picked up from other heretics or pure invention of their own minds. 53, this observation, reviling where they have no knowledge, has the appearance of sanctified sarcasm to their pretensions of superior gnosis. a sanctified sarcasm from Peter. Reviling where they have no knowledge. Gnosis. The Gnostic comes from the term gnosis, which means knowledge. They say higher knowledge is what we offer to you, and it's your way into heaven, rather than faith through Jesus Christ for the unbelievers, etc. Morality, all that stuff, is not an issue. So you have here, looks to me, a touch of sanctified sarcasm. They have no knowledge. truly of the truth, no matter what words they may quote out of the scripture otherwise, to manipulate and to twist their own version of the truth. People do that. Preachers get up and do that all the time. Raise a Bible and rip out a verse and then just tear all the hell in regards to taking it out of context and everything else. Fifty-four. These men are supremely guilty of the sin of intellectual dishonesty. Intellectual dishonesty. In your mind, not willing to be honest with yourself and with the reality of facts around you. Intellectual dishonesty is often clouded because of one's emotions. If you can get a hold of people all the time, if they get a hold of their emotions and they just look at the facts, But emotions can be absolutely destructive in regards to someone's intellectual honesty otherwise. And these people, these men are supremely guilty of this intellectual dishonesty as they have no knowledge of the very thing that they're attacking. 55, these ten types tend to be densely ignorant about the things to which they direct their blasphemy. 56, to assault any true doctrine under the term glories, to assault any true doctrine is to be guilty of the sin of blasphemy. People ought to think about that before they immediately jump up under knee-jerk reaction and take issue with a doctrine that they don't have a clear understanding of. That all it is a form of blasphemy, if indeed the doctrine is true, assuming the doctrine is true. But people don't think when they get under their emotions. Like little girls, and they see the spider. Fifty-seven. Peter then describes the end of these men. Will the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed, suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong? 58, verse 13a here should go with verse 12. In the Greek text, there is no comma mark at the end of verse 12, and that doesn't come until verse 13a in the Greek text. So the entire thought is, will the destruction of these creatures also be destroyed, suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong? Then you have your pause. All right. I've given you enough to digest for this evening. We'll pick this up Thursday evening. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light and see, sing in Jesus' name. Amen.